Hopefully I'll be able to get through this without breaking down, because there's never a time when I sing Good Good Father and I don't get emotional. That's my song. Yeah. Thanks, Michelle. So I'm just going to ask Jeremy to run the PowerPoint presentation. If technology is kind to us, this will take about 30 minutes in all. All right. Today we are going to look at Psalm 23. We will do three readings using different translations, and Sue is now going to read Psalm 23 using the King James Version.
Okay, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you, Sue. Can everybody hear me properly? Okay, great. Psalm 23 belongs to a group of psalms that can be described as expressing trust in God. According to dictionary.com, to trust means to rely upon or place confidence in something or someone. To have confidence, to have hope. So Psalm 23 is a psalm expressing our confidence and hope and reliance on God. Psalm 23 is probably the most well-known of all the psalms. Whether you are a Christian or a Jew or neither, a lot of people can recite Psalm 23 by heart. I learned Psalm 23 as a little girl in primary school, which we would recite together at the end of our morning's devotions. People use Psalm 23 in many situations and scenarios. It's read at funerals. It is invoked during difficult times, in times of grief and dangerous situations. It is read to people as they are dying. It is used as a prayer in many settings for people to say together. It is a psalm of David and is a psalm which David uses to describe God as his shepherd. Now, there are many verses in both the Old and New Testaments describing God as a shepherd, and we will look at a few of them. Now, the first reference in the Bible of God being described as a shepherd is by Jacob. In Genesis 48, verse 15, it says, "Then he blessed Joseph and said, 'May the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been the shepherd all my life to this very day.'" Now, When Jacob knew that he was going to die, he called Joseph, as was the custom of the day, so that he could bless him and Joseph's sons. And when he's doing so, he describes God as the one who has been his shepherd all of his life. Even when he had thought that he had lost his favorite son, Joseph, and he had known grief when his wife Rachel died in childbirth with Joseph's brother Benjamin, and having to move from his homeland to Egypt because of the severe famine that was on the land. At the end of the life, he describes God as a shepherd of his life. Isaiah 40 describes God as a gentle shepherd. Isaiah 40:11 says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young." Now, Luke 15 is my favorite reference, shepherd reference, and it is Jesus describing himself as a shepherd and how he will go after that one lost sheep as any good shepherd would do. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. And in John 10:11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Okay, let's get back to Psalm 23, and I'm going to ask Michelle to read it in the NLT version.
"The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever."
Thanks, Michelle. Being a shepherd is dangerous and hard work. Even now in modern times, when I watch programs about sheep farming, showing the beautiful green pastures of Wales and Ireland and Yorkshire, looking after sheep is hard work. It was so much harder in Bible times. The climate was extremely hot and arid, very dry and desert-like. The landscape was rocky and mountainous and dangerous. There was very little rainfall each year. People had to draw water from wells and pools for themselves and their animals and pray that the water would last until the next rain. Rain fell about twice a year and was quickly absorbed by the dry and the sandy soil. Some of the rain collected into pools or ponds, and the shepherds would have to seek out and look for these pools. There were no irrigation systems to supply and direct water to their homes, and their flocks had to be watered daily. The green pastures to feed the sheep were few and far between, and the shepherd had to walk miles and miles along dangerous terrain with his sheep so that they could be fed. There were dangerous animals like lions and bears that could attack not just the sheep, but the shepherd too. So shepherds had to sleep in the fields at night with their herds to protect them from attacks from wild animals. There were also what were known as marauders and bandits, dangerous animals of the human kind who would attack the shepherds to steal the sheep. There were flies and midges and biting insects that would attack the sheep's faces, and they would try and burrow into their eyes and their ears and their noses to lay eggs. The shepherds had to use oil and rub it over the heads of each sheep to protect them from the disease and infections that the insects carried. If the shepherd did not do this, the sheep would die terrible, painful deaths. Life was very harsh and dangerous. And being a shepherd was a full-on 24/7 job. There's a picture there, Jeremy. A shepherd would carry a rod and a staff. The rod was used to chase off the dangerous animals or even kill the dangerous animals. And the curved staff was there to guide the sheep along. And if any fell off the path into a ravine or a hole, the shepherd would use a staff to grab the sheep to haul it back to safety. Now let's look at David, the shepherd. David began his life as a shepherd boy at a very young age and as a teenager, while his brothers were out on the battlefield, strategizing and fighting a losing battle against the Philistines. David, the youngest son, was assigned the job to look after his father's sheep and goats. Yet David was the one who took down Goliath when not even the most experienced soldiers in the Israelite army could. But David did, and he did so using his experience as a shepherd, and most importantly, experiencing and knowing God's protection and guidance as he shepherded his father's herds. David knew firsthand about God's protection, and he had every belief when he saw Goliath that he would, with God's help, defeat him. He trusted God. He had complete confidence in God's ability to protect him. He continually hoped in God. Because that was his daily experience as a shepherd, he knew that God was always with him. I'm going to skip through some of the verses in 1 Samuel 17, and it continues to describe David's experience. Now, David was the son of a man named Jesse. Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had 8 sons. David was the youngest son. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. But David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. Now, for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. One day, Jesse, David's father, said to him, "Take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they are doing." So David left his sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts, as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came from the Philistine ranks. And then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. David asked a soldier standing nearby, What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God? But when David's oldest brother heard David talking to the men, he was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded. What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle. What have I done now? David replied. I was only asking a question. And then it goes on, and he's speaking to King Saul. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. And we know the end of the story. How desperate Saul must have been to send a teenager into battle to do the work his soldiers could not do, and how irresponsible. What I find funny here was how David responded to his brothers. He was just a typical teenager. I can literally hear him whining with his big old teenager's attitude. What have I done? I was only asking a question. But this endearingly normal teenage lad, David, was able to defeat Goliath with no protective armor, but with a sling and some rocks, which were in his arsenal of tools that he used to protect his sheep. But not only that, David knew firsthand, even as a young lad looking after dad's sheep, that the Lord was with him, giving him the strength, the guidance, and the protection that he needed as he defeated the giant. I am now going to share with you Psalm 23, South African style. What I love about this rendition is that it's not done in a solemn way that Psalm 23 is usually sung, but with dancing and in victory, with singing and as a testament to God being a loving shepherd. They are following the commands of Psalm 150, praise him with the blast of ram's horn, praise him with the lyre and the harp, praise him with the tambourine and dancing, praise him with strings and flutes, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with loud clashing cymbals. What really ministers to me as I watch this video is that there's a line of some older folk that the video pans to from time to time, and they're on their feet and they're dancing and they're just rejoicing. And what really blesses me is that I know that God, as their shepherd, took them through the very difficult and ugly times of apartheid in South Africa. And judging from their age, I know that they experienced it firsthand. Yet at this stage of their lives, they're able to dance in victory with smiles and such joy, because even through the valley of the shadow of the darkness of what they experienced, they are now doing their dance of victory to the Lord because he has been their shepherd and did what he said he would do for them in Psalm 23. And it just tickles my heart to see them. And as you listen and hopefully enjoy this rendition, think about the times you may have used Psalm 23 in your life, the faithfulness that God has shown you, the ways that he has taken care of you, and the promise that even to the very end of your life, he will be your shepherd. So let's hear Psalm 23 South African style. There isn't a time that I watch that video and I see them dancing. It just delights my soul because they're doing their little Zulu warrior dance in victory, because that's exactly what God has done for them. He has, in the presence of their enemies, he has anointed their head with oil, and you know, their cups just running over with joy because of what he has done. I'm going to read Psalm 23 now in the Passion Version. Yahweh is my best friend and shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me into an oasis of peace near the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my soul. He opens before me the right path and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be alone, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my cup overflows. So why would I fear the future? Only goodness and tender love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be with you forever. I'm going to play another. This is the last one, and we're going to wrap up now. I'd like to take you to the island of Jamaica now. Cheval Franklin is my favorite gospel artist. She's a child of God who I love and respect. Cheval was born and grew up in the slums of Kingston, Jamaica, a place of abject poverty, of indescribably harsh and awful conditions that none of us could ever imagine being born into. But God touched her right there in the slums of Jamaica. And her testimony is absolutely amazing. God has used her in Jamaica and now in many other countries to spread God's message of hope. She remains so humble and is a true worshiper of God. And it just delights me to listen to her rendition of Psalm 23. In this song, she speaks about Jesus being the good shepherd, being the one to leave the 99 to look for that one lost sheep. And interwoven into her song are some verses from Psalm 23. I've put in the chat the actual lyrics of this song because this is not an active video and it's in the Jamaican dialect. So it's just as a guide if you don't understand everything that's been okay, we're going to wrap it up now. God knows that life here earthside can be very hard. God knows that we all go through difficult, sad, and at times devastating and very dark circumstances. And none of us is promised an easy path through life. David was able to write this Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," because he knew what it was to be a good shepherd himself, even as he took his example from God being his good shepherd. I pray that you will see the Lord as your shepherd today as you continue to navigate life, that you will rely upon him, place confidence and hope in him, because he indeed is our shepherd who will take care of us in every way with love, kindness, compassion. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. There will be giants to conquer, bears and lions will attack. The flying insects will try and burrow into your head. But in spite of all of these things, my cup overflows with blessings. Surely, your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. I have absolutely loved and been inspired and uplifted as we have come together to study the Psalms over these past few weeks. It has been, for me, an absolutely amazing experience. And I want to really thank you. Amen.